Good morning. Thank you for being here today. This is kind of our fall kickoff for our small groups. Every fall, we kind of try to refocus and kind of launch our small groups again after our summer breaks. Most of us kind of change up our schedule for the summertime, so we're getting back into meeting weekly, regularly. So we wanted to take an opportunity to introduce our small group leaders. Right now, we have three small groups that meet weekly. One group is led by myself and my husband, Jason, and we meet at Eric and Wendy Pearson's house. And then our second group is led by Peter and Betsy Smith. I only see Betsy here, though. Although Peter is here somewhere. I saw him earlier. And then our third group is co-led by Alvin Johnson and Ted Wilder here. So if you have any interest in those groups, please reach out to either April, the office manager, or one of us. You can go on our website, and it lists all the times and dates of those small groups. And so today, for service, we're going to do kind of what a typical small group would look like. They all look a little bit different because they have different people in them, and the group really reflects the personality of your group. So we usually always start our small groups with an icebreaker. And then we tell a story, and then there's usually some questions. After we tell the story, we usually retell it, and then we read the story in the Bible. And then after that, we have a time of discussion with questions and answers. So we're going to kind of do service like that today. And then we usually have food either at the beginning or end of our small groups. So today we'll be having food at the end of our small groups in lieu of a barbecue out back. So we're going to kick off this morning with a quick icebreaker. But before we do that, the optimal number for a small group is between 8 to 10 people. And so we're kind of spread out a little bit. And I absolutely hate when I go to church and people make me move. So I'm going to apologize now, but I'm going to make you move in hopes that we can get about 8 people-ish. I don't know how many chairs are around a table, but we could maybe fill up the tables a little bit more so that we can have just the right size for our small groups. So please invite somebody to join your table and see if we can fill them up a little bit. All right, it looks like everybody is finding a group. Perfect. So we're going to do a really simple icebreaker. Sometimes they're a little more deep and personal and probing, and sometimes they're a little more lighthearted and fun. And so since we're having a barbecue today, we're just going to do a simple icebreaker of what is your favorite barbecue food? So take a couple of minutes, share around your table of what is your favorite barbecue food. All right, hopefully you all had a chance to share some of your favorite barbecue foods. next, we're going to move into the story time of our small group. And so I'm going to invite William up to tell our story. One of the things we usually do in small group is we take turns telling the story, so it's not the same person every week. It's not just one person that tells a story and then tells you what that means. It's we take turns sharing the story, and then we discuss in a group kind of what we all think that means, because we believe that the Holy Spirit puts things in all of us to share, and that we can't know everything all by ourselves. And it's the small group and the sharing that helps us to learn everything we're supposed to get out of a story. So after Will does the story, somebody in your group will want to read the story out of the Bible. The text is on your little question and answers, and then he'll invite you to spend some time in the questions. So I'm going to turn this over to Will now.
Thanks, Mom. Yep. Happy Sunday, everybody. Hey, all of... So I got my notes here. I'm going to read a story from a slightly different perspective than some of you guys maybe are used to or maybe have thought of before. I promise I didn't bring any golden calves, so don't have to worry about that. So here we go. Let's start. Yeah, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll get into the story. So, Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see you more clearly and also work in our hearts. We're thankful that you were planning today before we were thinking about it. You know exactly what you want to do, and we ask that we'd be open to receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So So imagine yourself, it's late, it's in a tent, and you are so excited, you're so happy. Everybody in the camp is recovering from the long day that's just happened, long several days that's just happened, and finally it's at an end, and you can finally rest. And you are finally, you're just so excited that your husband and all of his servants have come home safe. There was a big battle that needed to happen, and your husband and his servants went out and had to go fight that, and they came back, and everybody made it back safe. And you are just so thankful to God. But as you sit there in the tent with your husband, you notice that he's in distress. And you thought that maybe this victory would have helped him take his mind off of what had been bothering him, but it seems that it's only worse now. And as you're sitting there, you notice just kind of the light inside the tent doesn't quite seem to draw your focus anymore. There's something else drawing your focus in the middle of the tent. And all of a sudden, your husband hears from the Lord in a vision. In the middle of his distress, he hears from the Lord. And the Lord says to him, "Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." And then your husband, fighting back tears and with much pain and distress on his face, says, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer, the son of Damascus?" And then your husband says again to him, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the Lord speaks to your husband and says, "This man will not be your heir, but a son that is your own flesh and blood. He will be your heir." Then the lighting seemed to return to normal, and sensing the movement of the one speaking, your husband stands up and follows him outside. And he hears the Lord say, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And the walls that were holding your husband's tears back came crumbling down, and they streamed down his cheeks and his beard and his chin. And in that moment, your husband did something that you couldn't, that you didn't. He believed God. And you knew in that moment that your husband was a righteous man. Then the Lord said again to Abraham, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land, to take possession of it." And your husband said, "O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it?" And then the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, all 3 years old, and a dove and a young pigeon." So your husband got them, cut them in half, and set them down with the halves apart from each other, except for the birds. He didn't cut those in half. And that's the story. And I don't know what we do now. Thank you. So now what we'll do is we'll have somebody at the tables read the scripture. So if I made any mistakes, you can call me out on them later, preferably in private with two or more witnesses. So the scripture is Genesis 15 verses 1 through 10. And then after that, after you read through the scripture, you guys can make some observations. There are some guiding questions on the little sheet of paper. Those aren't the only questions that you can ask if Holy Spirit, I know, if Holy Spirit is prompting you or stirring something in you, please ask it for everybody, because I think that's how the Lord wants to do his work. So, yeah.